Ladies, that was a good song. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you here this morning. Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of James in chapter 1. James in chapter 1, and since Brother Brian's already preached three quarters of my message, this will be a shorter message, so we'll just get down to the end. I would like to say a few things. It's good to see all of you here. Greetings to all the brethren out in cyberspace. I do have a prayer request. I'd ask you to remember our daughter, our youngest daughter, Cassidy, and her husband, Pavel. Both of them have COVID now, and they are suffering tremendously. They're not in the hospital, but they are experiencing more of the severe aspects of that disease. So would you pray for them? And I'll pray for them this morning as well. And I would like to throw out a note to my fellow preachers. Every once in a while you get to preach or teach a zinger. And by zinger, I mean somehow it is recalled by all the members in the church. And so I've had an opportunity to have a message that has been a zinger, apparently, because quite a few people have mentioned remembering context. So that's, you get that pleasure every once in a while. So James chapter 1. I would like to read verse 12 through verse 15, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. For every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together in the name which is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the liberty we have. We thank you for the opportunities and the chance to meet in your precious name and fellowship with the saints of God. I would pray that you would bless those that have COVID, that you would heal their bodies. Deliver us from this disease. Have mercy upon us. I remember my daughter, Cassidy, and Pavel, that you might heal them completely and recover them to their former state of health. We thank you for all things. Bless this word we preach this morning. May your name be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen. I've chosen this text just because I know it's a battle that we all face, and I really want to focus down, probably down in verses 14 and 15. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin which is finished. When it is finished, bringeth forth death. So lust, sin, and death will be the topic this morning. And what I would like to do is, first of all, give a few definitions so we might understand the meaning of the words, explain some of the dangers that we face, explain some remedies that God has provided, and then just conclude. So first of all, a few words of definition. We are in a battle, and it seems like this battle includes these three things: the battle with lust, sin, and death. And when we say lust in our modern vernacular, when we think about it, we immediately think about lustful thoughts or temptations of the sexual nature. And certainly that would include part of the definition of the word lust: an intense sexual desire, strong, excessive, and inordinate desire, or sensuous appetite or desire. And those are all valid definitions of the word lust. However, in the Bible, in the scriptures, which is an ancient book that has come down to us and we have in our English language, that term is not always used in only the sexual sense. There are other types of lust or desires that a man might have, and I've written some of them down, to crave eagerly, an everyday natural desire. Sometimes we have a lust for hot sauce. And I found that if you took the green hot sauce that they sell at HEB that's hot, and then that Picantes hot sauce that never seems to be hot, and you mix it together, it really makes a really good hot sauce. And sometimes I wake up in the night lusting after, and my wife Janice asks me, what are you doing? Well, I'm mixing the hot sauce. At 2 o'clock in the morning, yeah, I've had some desires. So lust. And also I would think we're going to see that lust can also be defined as covetousness. And we'll see that in the scriptures. And before I continue, I would like to address the question. It has been brought up a number of times in my life. If God is so good, why does he allow us to even be tempted? You ever hear that question? That question is, you know, it's quite often repeated. And I counter the question with another question. I'll tell you what, I'll answer that one if you'll answer mine. Why are you so corrupt? Because really, if you weren't so corrupt, you wouldn't have these temptations or these difficulties that you have, right? Look what it says here. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust had conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So defining the word. Look at a few verses. Brother Brian has already read a few of these. We'll just repeat them. Romans chapter 7 and verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, there's the word, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. And there's how I understand that lust and coveting are together, because he didn't say, because the law said thou shalt not lust, it said it should not, you shall not covet. And so there's a problem I think that all of us understand that we have, is lust is ever present with us. And lust does not always lead us in the right direction. In fact, it has a tendency to lead us in the wrong direction, and it comes about because we are basically corrupt. We're sinners, and it just naturally evolves. How many of, well, you don't have to raise your hands because I know that I'm guilty. I've sat down to pray many a times, gotten on my knees to pray right here in this meeting hall to pray to God Almighty, and the most ungodly things come to mind. Now, I could dwell on these things, and I'm not here to tell you that I can define precisely where we draw the line, where we cross over into a sensuous or a sinful type of lust that brings us into sin. I'm not sure I can actually define that any more than I can define when a child is actually conceived. Some people say it's immediately. Some people say it takes 3 days. Some people says it takes 6 days. I don't know personally. I just know that when it's conceived, there's evidence of it. Does that make sense? Yeah. We can't always explain things, but we can observe things, I guess is the way that I'd like to put it. Look in Matthew in chapter 5 and verse 28. Jesus said, but I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So it's not a sin, it's not adultery to look at a woman any more than it's a sin or adultery to look at a man. But if you look at a woman, if you look at a woman to lust after her with the intention of lusting, then that is the adultery of which Jesus speaks. And that comes from a corrupt heart. Galatians chapter 5. This I say then, in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So it seems to me there is a battle that many of us, hopefully all of us, recognize. There is a battle that the flesh, our old man, desires or lusts to have the preeminence, to control things, to have his say, that so that its will might be done. And there is a spirit within us that battles, and they are battling each other. So who is going to have the preeminence? Have you ever experienced that in your life? I have on a daily basis. And I have good news and bad news for you. Which would you prefer first? The bad news is this is an ongoing battle that you're going to face not only daily, but every moment of your life. Wouldn't it be great we could get saved and then no more lust, no more temptation, no more evil, no more corruption. That would be great. Yeah, and that's what we're striving after, and that's what comes, that can come with salvation. But really, salvation, when we talk about it in the general sense, in the context of the scripture, salvation is going to be that day when we are with Christ. And then, no more corruption, no more temptation, no more trials. Thank God for that, yeah. And Christ did that on the cross for us, by the way. All right, so I want to give an example in my own words, of this process. And I'm talking about that then, that verse in 16, then, or verse 15, I should say, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. And let me say just a few more words before I give this example. Sin, what is sin? Sin is all unrighteousness. That would be a general term. Sin is whatever is not of faith is sin. So we could go through the Bible. In fact, I've preached this many times. There are definitions of the Bible talking about sin. But let's just say for brevity's sake that sin is all unrighteousness. All right? So that's the definition of sin. Then death, that death can be physical. We've had some physical death in this church. We lost a dear sister of ours, Nelda, recently. That's a physical death. I think we're all aware of that. But there's also a spiritual death that has affected all of us. And we have to be born again. We have to be quickened, or as the Bible says, made alive, because we're dead in trespasses and sins. Yeah. And then there's also, I don't have the vocabulary. I don't have the word exactly. I couldn't put my finger on. I was looking for it. But there is also another type of death. I think when I mention it, you're going to recognize it immediately. Maybe you'll have a word for it. I don't know if it's an emotional type death. I don't know if it's a moral type of death, but you've heard, that was a dead sermon. Or that meeting was dead. There was a lack of life, yeah? Or she's a dead fish, or he's a dead fish, yeah? Just, there's no life in it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't have the word for it, but there is that type of death. And we want to avoid, normally we want to avoid death at all costs, right? Death is an enemy. I hope you realize that. All right, let's look at some dangers of this issue. Oh, I forgot to tell you, here's my example. This process from lust to death. It's like a young man with a young woman, his girlfriend, let's say, who admires her beauty, is attracted to her. Then he starts holding her hand, then snuggling up real close, then perhaps petting, then all of a sudden, the next thing he knows, she's pregnant and she's conceived and in pregnancy. Where is that line? I can't precisely say where the line was crossed, but the line was crossed, and all of a sudden we're into immorality, we're into sin, we're into what Brian mentioned this morning, either fornication or adultery, and now that's going to bring forth some death. Yeah. And that's what happens in our life. We just need to be careful, and we're warned about it in the scriptures. Look in Matthew in chapter 4 and verse 18. It has a real danger, because these types of things can lead you to the second death, which is the lake of fire. Matthew in chapter 4 and verse 18, this is the parable of the sower. And he's giving explanation here, and he says, "These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word," that is the word of God, "and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things enter in, and choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." So we see this lust of other things has an effect that can choke you such a way that you don't receive the Word of God and you're not going to be born again because it's choked it out. This lust of other things is not just lust of women or lust of men. It's not just a sexual type of lust. There are other types of lust, and you can lust or covet after other things in such a way that you will not receive, the Word of God will not conceive in your life. And you'll not be born again. So you need to be aware of the dangers. Romans in chapter 1 highlights another danger. In verse 22, we won't read the whole chapter. We'll pick it up in verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts. I think we're getting into this idolatry that Brother Brian mentioned this morning. And creeping things, wherefore God hath God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. There is a danger that you can give yourself over to the lust that is in your corrupt heart to such a place that God will say, okay, that's what you want to do. You'll not seek after me. You have no desire for me. You don't want to love me. I am your Creator. I've given you everything that you have. I've blessed you. You don't want it. He'll just give you up to your own lusts. And that is a danger, my friend, that you and I need to be aware of. And so when lust raises its ugly head, we need to do something to chop it off. Something to put a stop to it and not allow it just to run rampant. Amen. That is the danger. Too many times we allow it to run rampant and then it can seize and brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. Well, I won't read all these verses, but there's a lot of them. Let me just mention a few verses about what God commands us to do. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 6. He says, now these things were our examples. In other words, he's saying the things that happened in the Old Testament, the things that happened under the Jews, these were our examples. And he says, these were the examples to the intent we should not lust. Yeah? You read that Old Testament, that if you didn't get the lesson out of the Old Testament, if you didn't get this particular lesson out of the Old Testament, then you need to go back and read it again, because those were examples that you and I should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Because of all those things happened to Israel and all the consequences, is trying to warn you, this is what happens when you allow lust to cross that line. Because it ends up conceiving sin. And when sin is conceived, it brings forth death and all the things that I mentioned. So we need to be careful that we've given examples. Look in 1 John chapter 2. Thank you, Brother Brian, for reading these verses. Preparatory, plowing of the field, plowing the fallow ground to prepare your hearts for this particular message. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. If you have an eternal vision, if you have a desire to live eternally, if you have a desire for things that are going to last forever, then you're going to have to put away lust. And think about the will of the Father instead of the will of this old corrupt man that we have. You get so preoccupied with the things of the world, you forget about eternity. And brethren, let me say, that's one of the reasons we gather together. Yeah. so that we might remind each other that this world is going to pass away. Yeah? That we ought not to be investing so much in this world, we ought to be investing in the kingdom of God. Yeah? But in that, let's say, reproof or rebuke is a promise. I don't know if you caught it. This world is going to pass away. Oh, thank God for that. This world is going to pass away. And then we can sit down. I don't know if we're going to be praying in heaven. Probably not. But we can sit down and pray and never have lust pop up its ugly head again. Amen. Isn't that going to be a day? Amen. I don't know about you. I find myself that I'm weak. And I succumb way too many times to temptation. And I allow lust to control my life way too many times. Yeah? One time is way too many times. Yeah? And I don't like that. I regret it every time. I repent every time it happens. I'm in remorse every time. Granted, it deceives me. It entices me. And there is a certain pleasure of sin for a season. I acknowledge that, yes, but then when it has conceived and it brings forth death, then I regret that I ever succumbed. Is that your experience? That's been my experience. You know? So I am thankful that one day we're going to be completely free. Amen. And Paul said in the book of Philippians that he desired for that day. Yeah, it's far greater to be with the Lord, to be free from these things. Proverbs in chapter 6 and verse 23, Solomon gives us a proverb here, and he tells us this: for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To what? To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. Now, here it's talking about a sensuous type of lust, but I think we can apply it to lust of other things, can we not? Somehow these other things in our life, they have a certain beauty to them. There's an attraction. We desire them, and we start thinking about them. We ponder, and all of a sudden, next thing we know, we're conceiving sin. And the Solomon warns us, lust not after her beauty. Don't be enticed by your beauty. Think about the end of these things. What's going to be at the end? I was given counsel a long time ago. Don't think about the young lady's beauty. Spend some time with her mother, because that's the way she's going to be. Amen. Yeah? So you need to consider not the beginning, but maybe what's it going to look like when she gets older? And let me tell you something. I woke up one day and my wife was a grandmother. It was a shocking experience. Just saying. I do love you. Yeah. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. I think this is some good advice that Paul gave to a young man. I think it would be profitable for us. 2 Timothy in chapter 2, he said, flee also youthful lusts. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And I was thinking about this message as Brian was preaching. He said, they're chasing me. So you got to run fast. You got to run faster than lust. Whatever it takes. We got to be like Joseph. Shake off our coat and don't worry about the coat. Just get out of the house. Yeah. Just get out of the house. When lust raises ugly head, when temptation comes in our lives, we got to do something to get away from it. And too many times in our lives, we're running the wrong direction. We're supposed to be fleeing and not running towards. The Bible does say flee fornication. The Bible does say flee from idolatry. He says, oh man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. We got to be fleeing from something to somebody or something. Yeah, we need to flee the temptations and flee the lust and run to Christ. That ought to be the direction of our running. But command here or the advice that Paul gave to a young man is applicable to our lives, we also need to put on our running shoes and do some fleeing. I can remember this in Mexico. My wife will be a witness because she was the only one there other than the perpetrator of the crime. We were knocking on doors and trying to preach the gospel, and one gentleman didn't like what we were preaching. And he came out and he just started wailing on me. Just bam, bam, bam. And I thought to myself, all right, what are my options here? I mean, it was a split second decision, you know, and my CPU is like the old Tandy's. It really wasn't going real fast, but for me, it seemed like an instant. But, and I was thinking, sooner or later, this is going to start hurting. And then how am I going to react? And I was really afraid that I might react inappropriately. I might try, you know, okay, if you're going to hit me, I'm going to hit you. And then, you know, how all this is played in like a split second. You got to understand, I'm giving you a long version. I put it on slow. But just that split second, he's wailing on me, and I'm thinking, all right, do I kill him? You know, can I kill him? What happens if I can't kill him? You know, what happens if this continues? I mean, pretty soon this is really going to get painful. And so I thought, well, you know, well, one other option is I'm running. I'm getting out of here, bud. And so I... And then I really felt bad about running. You know, what do you do, a car? I just had to do something because I didn't want the evil that could happen, because those flashed through my mind. And so I thought, well, I just better get out of here. So I did. Flee, the Bible gives. That's just good advice. That's Bible advice. Just run. Run! Run, Forrest, run! you know, all their movies, they get their plots right out of the Bible, don't you know? You know the problem with us? We're not doing enough fleeing. We got, and I'm speaking to myself, and so if I know I'm speaking to myself, I'm probably speaking to you too. We got too much in our blood of staying. And sticking. Yeah. I'm going to stick around and show them a thing or two. And then we find out the lust conceiveth and bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. I think you and I as Christians ought to practice some fleeing. Amen. That's just good, sound Bible advice. Flee also youthful lusts. But you know, the Bible doesn't say just flee, it says follow afterwards. Right. Run away and follow somebody that's doing the right thing. And Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Hey, we ought to be following Christ. Amen. That's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be fleeing from this world, fleeing from the youthful lust, fleeing the temptations and the sin that come our way, and we ought to be following Christ. We ought to be hot on his heels. Running after Christ. I think if we just take some of these practical steps, we can avoid a lot of death that comes into our lives. A lot of sin that ruins our lives. Like divorce, like adultery, like other types, like idolatry. Like bitterness that comes. We ought to be fleeing from these things. Instead of dwelling on it, instead of sticking around and fighting it out. Listen, you're going to lose every time with that type of temptation. You're just not strong enough. You know why? You're corrupt. You're corrupt. You're evil. I know your mommy says you're a good little boy, but I got news for you. The Bible says you ain't a good little boy. You're a bad little boy, and you ought to recognize you've got a weak nature. Amen. And you're not as strong as you think you are. Amen. Now, you might press weights down there and be able to press your weight 10 times. You might be able to do 100 push-ups. But when it comes to lust and temptation, you're weak. Amen. In fact, the Bible says you're dead in trespasses and sins. You're a slave to sin. And the only one that can help you is not the coach down there at the gym. The only one that can help you is Jesus Christ, who went to the cross and died in your place and rose again the third day. He's your only hope. Christ Jesus. Okay, message is over. We're done. Hope you got enough. We'll see you next week. Actually, that's just the warning bell. We're getting down to the end. Look at 1 Peter in chapter 2. Dearly beloved, verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts. Have you ever heard the phrase a teetotaler? I guess we're all Texans here. Some of us are wannabes. Thank you. You're welcome. We learn these phrases. Did you know in Poland they just don't understand the concept of teetotaler? When you tell a Pole that you do not drink, their response is, "Oh, how long have you been sick?" Because they think you have a medical condition and can no longer, you know, take the alcohol. But you know what we ought to be? We ought to be sin totalers in this. I don't know if that comes out exactly right, but we ought to be abstainers of sin. Abstainers of lust. We ought to be abstainers. We say, no, I abstain. I don't partake of that. And we ought to do so in such a way that we don't find it lurking in our cabinets or lurking in our refrigerator. Or I guess, as I've been told by some, lurking in their toilet bowl up there at the top. They put they hide their liquor in there. Yeah. Too many times we're hiding this thing. Well, you know, I got to live right, so I'm going to hide it over here just in case, you know, I might need it later. We ought to be total abstainers. We ought to abstain from fleshly lusts. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In other words, the only way that you're going to overcome temptation and lust and sin and death is if you are born again of the Spirit of God and you have the divine nature in you. And the Bible tells us over and over again, walk in the Spirit. That is the only victory we're going to have, because Christ overcame temptations. He did never succumbed to lust. He overcame it, and he went to the cross and became sin for us, and he died for you and I on the cross of Calvary, and he rose again because there's life after death. He is the life giver. And without Christ in our lives, we will not be victors. So you must be born again, my friend, if you want to overcome the lust of this world. The wages of sin is what? Death. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, is what Paul said. Let me give you one more example, because the alarm clock did go off. Do you remember Ananias and Sapphira? Let's look at that text. That's in Acts in chapter 5. Let's just look at it. And as you're thinking about Acts, as I read this in Acts chapter 5, this story of these two believers, I want you to think of our context. God does not tempt any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I cannot tell you exactly when they cross the line. I just can see that lust conceived, sin brought forth, and the end was death. Watch that process as we read this text. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. Was anything going on beforehand? Why did they sell this possession? What was going on? They sold a possession and kept back part of the price. Nothing wrong with saving. You ought to save. Yeah? But what was going on behind the scenes? What was lurking in their heart? What was stashed in the cabinets, in the corner of their cabinets, or in the bottom drawer of the refrigerator? What was going on? Was there any lust going on when these transactions were taking place? That is the question. And they kept back part of the price, and his wife also being privy to it. In other words, they were in agreement. and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So far, so good. All on the exterior looks fine and dandy, but I suspect there's something going on behind the curtain. But Peter said unto Ananias, why has Satan filled on... There he is, the old tempter. The accuser of the brethren was lurking around, able to use that corrupt flesh for his glory and for his honor, and not for the honor and glory of Christ and his kingdom. Satan hath, what, filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land. Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? Okay, you didn't have to give it. There was no requirement. Nobody was making you give. You could keep back part if you want and give as much as you want, just as like you and I have the freedom. It's your money. You worked hard for it. Give as you please. But something else is lurking. And while as it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, that's a hint, came in, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? And behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. That is an important story for us. Because on the outside, everything looks dandy, right? What's wrong with selling your home? What's wrong with owning a possession? What's wrong with giving a part? Isn't that what all we do? Is anybody here giving 100%? Yeah? What's wrong with that? So far, so good. But there's something is lurking. It's like sin is at the door. It's like death, the death angel is knocking, and he's right there. The devil was right there the whole time. And brethren, that is the battle we are in. Every day the devil is lurking, and he's going to take opportunity with lust and lead us into temptation, cause us to sin, and the result of that is going to be death. And the devil will be glorified in death and not the Lord Jesus Christ. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Now, I don't want to end with death. I don't want to end with victory. And there is victory. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections and lusts. Paul wrote to young Titus, he said in chapter 2 and verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And now 1 Corinthians chapter 15 will conclude with this. I thank you for your patience. I hope you got something out of it. I hope you'll remember. I don't know if it's going to be a zinger. I don't know if you're going to remember it down the line or whether anybody else will repeat it, but hopefully we'll wash out the bucket at least one time this morning, as they say. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, ye know that your labor in the Lord, labor is not in vain in the Lord. Lord, it is worth the fight because the victory is at the end.
Amen.
Brethren, don't worry about cockling and cock-a-doodle-doo when you're running. Just run and don't care what they say and run right after Christ. Run out the door and run to Christ and follow him all the way to the cross. And bless God, one day he's coming again and we're going to be free, free. Thank God we're going to be free at last from our sin and corruption.
Amen.
That's in Christ Jesus whom we preach. And whom we know and we've experienced, there's victory in the cross of Calvary. We thank God for that. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Let's stand and pray. God in heaven, we are thankful this morning for the opportunity to open your holy Bible. We're thankful to read the revelations that you've given to us and the admonitions and the reproving that you've given to us. Father in heaven, I'm thankful that there's victory in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we know that no temptation comes from you. It comes from our own wicked heart. And we recognize our vileness, our vainness, our corruption that is within us. And our only hope is Christ, who is incorruptible. And Lord, we want to be focused on him. Help us to put on our running shoes and run from and flee from sin and run on to you. And be followers of Christ. Help us to take up our cross and follow you daily, that you might be glorified in our lives and we might be liberated from the temptations of sin and lust of the flesh. Bless everyone here this morning. If anybody's not saved, I pray they will be saved. I pray they'll recognize that without Christ, there's no hope in this present evil world. Bless these brothers and sisters that battle with temptation on a daily basis. Lord, give us victory. There is an enemy. You know him. You fought him. You've gotten victory over him. Lord, give us the victory as well. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord Jesus Christ richly bless you. Come back tonight. Bring a friend. We will be here at the Lord's Supper. Amen. Praise the Lord.